Our immediate response to water use in drought conditions is to reduce how much we're using, including cutting out the watering of our lawns and gardens. But South Australia Water's Greg Ingleton has been conducting some research into what he refers to as smart watering. He joins me now. Hi there, Greg.
Hi, Jesse. How are you going?
Good. Remind us of the traditional thinking around lawn watering.
During the previous drought, the millennium drought, people were told not to water their lawns because we didn't have enough water at the time for lawn watering and human consumption. So we were trying to conserve our water resources. Since that drought, we've got our act together and increased our water security. So we're trying to send a new message these days to say, think about it a bit more holistically and what the benefit of that water on your lawn could actually do for other parts of your living, your electricity bill, your ability to get outside on a hot day, those sorts of things.
So tell us a bit about this. What's this sort of the new thinking?
Well, it's really just to have a look at what role water plays in our day-to-day lives on top of the conventional water and wastewater services. So we're doing a lot of work and we have been working a lot with councils and schools to make sure that public open space remains nice and green over summer so that people can get out and socialise and do their physical activities in parks and so forth. But we're also wanting to extend that to the household. And the interesting thing is I do a lot of these experiments at home, and much to my wife's disgust at times, but I look at what we can actually do with the water to change the way that we behave at home. And what I found last summer was by having a green lawn and a green garden and producing our own fruit and all that sort of thing, but and also putting in a small misting system, we actually reduced our electricity bill by $200 over summer. Our water bill went up by about $20, and that was a hit that I was happy to take, knowing that we'd save so much money in electricity.
Can you explain the connection there?
Yeah, sure. So what it is really in Adelaide, it gets quite hot over summer, and we get temperatures of sort of 35 degrees, above 30 degrees most days, although this summer hasn't been that hot. And what generally happens is people stay inside with their air conditioner running. So what we're telling people is you don't actually have to stay inside and have your air conditioner running. You can be outside and have a nice green lawn, a misting system going, and actually be comfortable. It's a really interesting one. We're reducing the temperature by 10 to 15 degrees by having the green lawn and a misting system on. And the beauty of it is the cost to run the misting system is about a tenth of the cost to run an air conditioner.
And, I mean, obviously different conditions in Australia than in New Zealand, but we're at the peak of sort of hot summer at the moment in New Zealand, and so there will be parts of New Zealand where this might apply. Understand why having some water mist going might cool you down, but what's the greenness of your lawn got to do with things?
Oh, okay. So lawn actually transpires cool air, so it breathes cool air out. It takes water from the soil and breathes that out into the atmosphere as cool air. And you also get evaporation from the soil as well. So combined, they're referred to as evapotranspiration. They will actually reduce your air temperature by around 5 degrees. What we're finding at the moment, we've put out about 200 air temperature sensors around Adelaide in different parks, and some parks that are irrigated and some parks that are not irrigated. And we're seeing on a day like you've got today, a 27 degree day, that we could have some parks that are actually 7 degrees hotter than that because they're not irrigated. So the bare earth is, or you know, dead grass is actually as hot as a road. So by having a nice green lawn with all of that air being evaporated into the that water being evaporated into the atmosphere, you're actually cooling down your environment.
That's a fascinating theory. It's making me want to go home and water my lawn. You had a bit of a eureka moment, I think, when you were flying into Adelaide Airport.
Oh, that's right, yes. And that was really about the driver there was what we could do with recycled water. So we have, since the millennium drought, put a lot more resources into alternative water sources, recycled water and harvesting stormwater. And I'd been working on the two projects around the airport for the recycled, so recycled water is just recycled sewage water and treated to a degree that it can be used. And I'd been working on those two projects, and I looked at that big space around the airport and thought, well, why aren't we putting water on there? Why couldn't we do something to green that up? And I wonder what benefits we'd get from greening up that land around the airport. And it just so happened that I talked to a pilot friend who then said to me, well, that'd be great for the aircraft, so they'd reduce their fuel usage when they take off, and on hot days they can still take off with their normal payload.
Wow. You have to explain that to me, Greg. Why will green grass around a runway help the planes out in the fuel usage?
So it's really about cooler, denser air is much better for aircraft performance.
Wow.
So the cooler the air and the denser the air, the easier it is for the planes to get off, the more thrust they get from their engines because the air is denser, so the more grab, I suppose, they get. And they can just take off because the air is thicker. When it's hot, the air is a lot thinner and they just can't take off as well. So not that they can't take off, but it's just that they use more runway and use more fuel and to get off the ground.
Now, Auckland's water organisation, Watercare, is, among other councils, recommending limiting your water usage at the moment. So you would want to make sure that you lived in an area where there was plenty of water before sort of embarking on some of these schemes, Greg.
Not necessarily. What we're finding is, so we've had smart meters out in hundreds of homes around Adelaide, and what we find is that people tend to do their watering on a hot afternoon just when the temperatures are peaking, and they're wasting that water. It basically just evaporates off. It doesn't get into the root zone and help that vegetation. So what we're trying to teach people is knowing when and where to water. So don't use more water, just use your water more effectively. Water a couple of days before that hot period so that that water gets into the soil, the plants then are more resilient when that hotter period occurs, and it's not being wasted, it's not evaporating off. So that's the key message, I think, is that if you want to put a misting system in, then get out of the shower a minute or two earlier in the day, and that water that you save by getting out of the shower a minute or two earlier can then be used to operate your misting system for a couple of hours. Watering before a hot period is actually a much more efficient way of applying your water, so your plants will respond better to that. So it's just being more smarter, I suppose, about when and where you use your water.
That misting system you're talking about, that's effective for cooling down humans who happen to be nearby, but is it a good way of giving water to grass as well?
It's not direct to the grass, because what we try and aim to do is to have it around our outdoor entertainment uh-huh. areas. So you're trying to cool down the area but not have the deposition of water. So you don't want water to be sitting all over your table. So, and they're actually quite cheap. They're $40 at a hardware store, so they're not an expensive bit of kit. And
I remember them from having a holiday in Las Vegas, and all the sort of the outdoor restaurants were using them. It's quite amazing, but pretty effective.
Yes, yeah.
Is there a good time of day, Greg, to be watering your garden, your trees, your lawn?
The best time is in the evening, sort of just after the sun goes down, as long as it's not too windy. So that's the best time to do it. And just be aware of how much water you need to put on. A lot of people just put too much water on as well. I've said a simple cup, putting a glass outside, and once it gets a fingernail full of water in it, that's enough, and move your sprinkler to the next spot.
Wow.
Oh, you're a wealth of knowledge. Thanks very much, Greg. Heaps to think about there, and really appreciate you taking your mind off your home region, South Australia, and giving us some advice here in New Zealand today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jesse.
What are your thoughts, listeners? Send me a text, 2101, or email jesse@rnz.co.nz.